Grace Aaron. Grace?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Now I do.
Okay, I vote yes.
Okay, Mia?
No.
Evelyn? Carolyn?
Yes.
AC?
No.
Kathy Davis?
Yes.
Sakai?
Yes.
Sherry?
No.
Ambrose? Mike Martin?
Yes.
Afia?
Yes.
Margaret Prescott? Sarv? George Reiter?
Yes.
Rob Robinson?
Yes.
Jamie Ross?
Yes.
Wendy?
Yes.
Bonnie?
No.
Lori? Lori Taguma?
Hi, I'm sorry. I think I vote yes, but it does make sense in this situation.
Yes, okay. Jack?
No.
Joe?
Yes.
Yosh?
Yes.
Okay. 13, yes. Five, no.
Okay, number four. Yosh?
I'll defer to Jack or Athea.
Jack?
Okay, number four is an amendment which would codify in the bylaws what has been the practice of the PNB for the last 2 years, and this will make it 3 years, that the affiliate director's election has been moved ahead in the cycle so that the two affiliate directors are seated in January with the rest of the directors. It has two beneficial aspects to it, I believe, and there's one concern about it which you might weigh against those. The advantage of having the affiliate directors seated with the other directors is that they're in the same cycle with the rest of directors, so that they, you know, follow through the change of seasons of the board, so to speak. Also, the affiliate directors would be available to stand for election as officers. The other advantage, which I think is distinct in my mind, is that when you have a change of leadership and a number of new board members coming on, as we did this year, there's a lot that needs to get underway in the early part of the year, such as forming committees and getting everything moving. And to add to that, an affiliate director's election procedure would probably be a pretty serious burden. One concern, and I think the reason why the original bylaws put the affiliate director's election into March, would be that you have essentially an outgoing board electing directors and then, you know, not having to live with the result.
An abrupt call. Morning, we really didn't talk about
Carolyn?
Yes.
We can hear you.
Sorry, thank you.
But in my view, I think that concern is probably outweighed by the advantage. So I support this amendment. We may want to hear from our affiliate directors on it, too.
Okay, Lori and then Athea.
This is Doc. Could I get on the stack, please?
Yes, Doc. You can. I'm just asking Lori and Athea if they have any comments.
Hi. I have to apologize. I've just got back online in the past few days and just got a computer after being offline for a month. And I apologize if I've been out of touch. But given my situation currently, I've been in job recovery. But I'm reading it right now. Can you give me a few minutes? Is Athea on the line?
Oh, yeah, sure. Athea?
I support the
the proposed amendment. I think it's important that affiliate directors come in at the same time that the other directors, and that and winds up serving a full term, a full and effective term. So I would urge support of the amendment.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak to the amendment while Lori's reading?
Evelyn's next, but I'll speak to it after her.
All right, Evelyn, go ahead.
Actually, I just had a request if the secretary could make sure that when she's taking the vote, that if you don't hear a member, if you will call them again at the end before you do the tally.
Okay.
Because sometimes we have problems getting off mute.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Sherry?
Yeah, go ahead, Wendy.
Okay, I think the issue really here is, are the affiliate directors full-on members of the PNB or not? Because it really never, for me or for anybody that I know about, was about deciding whether it was the outgoing PNB or the incoming PNB that was electing them. I think that, you know, when the bylaws were written, there was opposition from a lot of fronts to having affiliate directors at all, and that was a minority position, and so it may have been a compromise or a safeguard or something to have them come in March as opposed to everybody else coming in January, because maybe the concern is, can affiliates take over the network, the PNB, or something? But I just have to say that in my experience, we've gotten amazing directors from the affiliates for the most part. That is mostly where we've gotten radio experience on the PNB. We've had a lot of station managers be our affiliate directors. And just no matter what it is, understand that 20 members of the PNB are voting in these two seats. So I don't see any way that affiliates are going to take over the PNB. And it has been, you know, since I was on the PNB in, 2004 was the very first term of the PNB, and so there wasn't this staggered term at the time, or else we all came in at March, or I really don't remember, but for some reason in that very first year that everybody was on equal footing, and it did turn out that we elected one of the affiliates to be the chair of the PNB. But I do want to just say that the issue is, is it a 22-member board or is it a 20 plus two other kinds of members? And I don't think it is. The affiliate directors are on the PNB, and therefore they should have the same rights to vote for chair or run for chair or whatever it is that they want. And the PNB should have, the safeguard is that the elected people from the stations should vote for them. And so it does kind of make sense to have the people that already know them vote for them rather than people that don't know them coming in. I think that the affiliates are an amazing, addition to the Pacifica family, and that they've won this representation, and that we should consider them as equals to the rest of us, like they are.
Okay. Anybody else?
This is Nia, Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Nia.
Yeah, I'd like to speak in favor of this amendment. I think it offers structure. We all get seated in January, and I think the affiliate directors should also be seated in January. The committees are also formed, and they too will get the opportunity to be able to join committees when the rest of us join. So in that case, I like to speak in favor of it. It's more organized and more structured. Thank you.
Okay. Sherry? Yes, Lori.
Hi. After reading this, I see nothing wrong with this amendment also. I'm in support of it. It was a little confusing when I first came on board.
to have the different dates for the affiliates regarding the board. But yes, this makes sense to me, and I'm in support of it.
Any other comments? Hearing none, I will ask Madam Secretary to please call the roll for voting on number 4. This is the bylaw amendment that relates to the affiliates. Donna, if you would be kind enough, and if you don't hear anybody, just repeat their name.
Sherry, I have a point of order.
Ed?
Do you think it should the affiliate directors vote on this?
No, you're right, they should. Thanks.
Can you tell me who they are?
Yes. The two affiliate directors are Thea Wangaza and Lori Taguma.
Point of order, this is Jack.
Yes?
I haven't considered this, but the bylaws are specific in requiring a majority of all board members, and it seems to me that abstentions don't work as abstentions, so that removing, you know, having individuals recuse themselves seems to have a distortive effect on that majority requirement. I just wanted to raise that. I'm not sure I want to object to the affiliate directors recusing themselves, but I think that at least we need to be aware that that is an effect that doesn't ordinarily occur with a majority vote.
Okay.
So that's my point.
This is George.
Hey, George.
Yeah, I want to argue against having them recuse themselves. It's not their personal fortunes which are at stake here. It's a procedural change, and whether they can get themselves elected or not again is really not at stake here. So I don't think that they have a personal interest in this that requires them to recuse themselves, and I think that they probably ought to be allowed to vote if they want to.
Wendy. I don't think it's going to be an issue, so maybe we could just take the vote, and then if it makes a difference, we could argue about this point.
I want to take the vote and ask the two delegates not to vote right now. Let's see how it looks like it's going to pass anyway. Madam Secretary?
Grace Aaron?
Yes.
Nia Bediaco?
Yes.
Evelyn Bethune? Evelyn? Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
AC Bird?
Yes.
Kathy Davis?
Yes.
Sakai Free?
Yes.
Integrity here.
Sherry Gendelman?
Yes.
Ambrose Lane? Mike Martin?
Yes.
We're not doing that right. Margaret,
this is Evelyn. I'm voting yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Evelyn. Margaret Prescott. Sarv Randhawa. George Reiter.
Yes.
Rob Robinson.
Yes.
Jamie Ross.
Yes.
Wendy Schrill.
Here. I mean, yes.
Bonnie Simmons.
Yes.
Jack Van Aken.
Yes.
Joe Gonzalo? Joe?
Go ahead.
Yash Yamanaka?
Yes.
Okay.
And so go ahead. Go back to Joe.
Joe Gonzalo?
Okay.
Okay, it's unanimous. 16 in favor.
Okay. And I do want to inform you that this one was passed by the KPFA LSD yesterday. All right, the fifth and final one, Josh?
Yes, actually PBA number 5 is an earlier version of PBA number 2, which we just passed about half an hour or so ago by a 12-7 vote. PBA number 2 came about because of perceived defects in PBA number 5. It was, well, PBA number 5 was devised by a working group of Bob Lederer, Mary Berg, and myself, and when we came up with this language, we had not realized that the bylaws actually made no distinction between regular meetings and in-person meetings, and therefore this introduces more ambiguity. I know earlier when we were discussing PBA number 2, I think it was either Jack or Bonnie who expressed concerns that PBA number 2 introduced some ambiguity. There's some confusion regarding Robert's rules and our bylaws. And actually, PBA number 5 introduces even greater ambiguity. And so I would urge a no vote on number 5. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else that has a comment on number 5? Hearing no comment, I will go right to a vote. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll on this?
Yes. Grace Aaron? Grace?
Pass.
Nia?
No.
Evelyn?
No.
Carolyn?
No.
AC?
No.
Kathy?
No.
Zakai? Zakai?
Pass. Please come back to me.
Mm-hmm. Sherry?
No.
Mike Martin?
No.
Effia?
No.
Margaret? Sarf? George?
No.
Rob?
No.
Jamie?
No.
Wendy?
No.
Bonnie?
No.
Lori? Lori Taguma?
No.
Jack?
No.
Joe?
No.
Yosh?
No.
Grace?
No.
And Zakai?
No.
Okay. Nineteen, no.
Yippee.
Okay. So that's done. Moving the agenda now, I would like Mike and Bonnie to present item number 2, the status of the loan and the PMB motion. I will just make a brief remark that the PMB passed a motion approving, if it was for the amount of $1 million, that motion, whatever it is, and Mike and Lonnie will address this, has never made its way to Lonnie, and in order to secure a loan, among other preconditions, any lending institution wants to see board approval in a formal motion. Mike and Lonnie, decide who goes first, please.
Well, I guess I'll go first. And Lonnie, just jump in whenever you want. Essentially, what Sherry just said is exactly the situation that we're in. Lonnie has been visiting with the folks at the bank, and one of the things that is essential to the loan package is a resolution from the board authorizing the amount that's being requested. And Lonnie's been unable to obtain copies of that, as he's been unable to obtain copies of anything that we've done in his leave of absence. And that's actually kind of created an obstacle for us in moving forward with this loan, and it's actually becoming somewhat of a problem with the bank, and they're kind of wondering about us. So what I was going to move is basically for basically a reauthorization so that we can have a written resolution presented to the bank after today's meeting that authorizes or shows authority by the PNB for the borrowing of $1 million. Let me refresh your memory on this. We had an extensive meeting on this subject, maybe 2 meetings in August. As I recall, they lasted, that agenda item dominated primarily our work in August. And the ultimate outcome of that was an authorization request that was really asserted by Nicole after being vetted by NSC and approved and recommended by NSC. I believe we had only one dissenting vote out of the NSC to, maybe two, to seek a authorization for a loan, the loan package, which would do two things. One, pay down the line of credit or eliminate the line of credit loan, which is currently $300,000, and then free up another $700,000 that would be utilized to get us current on our vendor obligations, to help us make payroll and meet our requirements at least through the end of the year. The $700,000 estimate, just to kind of refresh your memory, was a bare bones estimate that Nicole gave us at that time. Lonnie and I have had discussions, and he's indicated a desire for more money than that, but that issue hasn't really been vetted, and I don't think we really have time to redo the whole thing, have a new debate over a new number at this point, and we can take it up at NSC if necessary and bring it back to you. But the point being is that we'd already authorized this once, and we need to memorialize it in writing. So I'm moving for a resolution from the board to authorize Lonnie to provide a resolution to the bank which authorizes Pacifica to borrow $1 million for that purpose. Lonnie and I have been talking about the proposed loan package, and I'm about to hand the ball off to Lonnie. And NSC is going to vet the proposed loan package on its meeting on the 13th. But the proposed loan package needs to demonstrate a couple of things that we kind of have to rework, mainly our payback plan and revenue streams that are going to be utilized to retire the debt, and how also, and I think this is a critical point that I know NSC is going to discuss, but and I think this is a critical point for the bank, and it's a critical point for any loan application, and that is that part of the money needs to be used to generate revenue. And I think that this is an opportunity for a great discussion for the board. We'll vet this on Thursday and come back to the board on it. But the point being is that we need to really start looking at probably programming that increases listenership, which sounds familiar. I've heard it from many of the members as the primary way that we target a revenue stream that might help retire this debt. Those are some of the issues we'll talk about at NSC. So when Lonnie's finished talking, I'm going to move for reauthorization of the previous board resolution from August.
Okay. Lonnie?
Yeah, I just add a few things. Thanks.
There
was a good summary, but there's a couple of other things, and I'll just summarize quickly. They are asking for a written board motion. That motion, of course, contains the authorization. They want a specific amount because we don't have that yet, and they do want to know what it'll be used for. Because that's part of the loan package. And so that discussion, I presume, we'll have at some point. They do want to show revenues that will demonstrate the ability to pay back the loan. So they are wanting to see revenue-producing activities that will add to the payback amount. They are asking for the year-end cash flow, a year's cash flow, which I did send out. And if you look through it, you'll see that we end the year with $586,000 or so, $549,000, I think, last count. And particularly in the national office, you see a lot of red ink because two stations are not obligated in the board package or the board budget to pay central services. So that's an issue that would have to be tackled in the loan package as well because they'll be looking at that same cash flow statement as well. And I did construct it so we could show the impact of the loan. There are some items that the loan amount addresses and may not address. Let's talk about what it might address. $300,000 of the million would go to pay back the line of credit. There's about $400,000 in unpaid back bills and other expenses. They went over some of those with them. That includes unbudgeted severance in the national office. It does include some legal, although they're a little bit wary about the legal. they do want to see revenue-producing activities as a part of the use of the funds. They call it uses and sources of funds, sources and uses. So that will have to be worked out. And then they are looking at, well, what will happen if your, one of your fund drives goes bad? Do you have a contingency plan? Do you have contingency funds? So we'll have to look at that as a part of the loan package. They are looking at us as a little bit flaky now. But I don't know. We keep plowing ahead and seeing what they will do. So what they'll get is the sources and uses, the cash flow statement for the whole year, which I sent along, and they'll get the 09 budget projected out 3 years to 011, and they'll get the balance sheet. That's sort of what they are considering the minimum plus the authorization letter. So that's where we stand now. They are saying that their fiscal year ends in December, and they'd like to get us on the calendar for December because apparently after that, the things sort of start all over again. And they'd like to get the loan done and get it done in December.
And in that regard, Lonnie is working on a new draft that encompasses everything he just said. And we've been talking, and we'll talk again this week and work on it together for vetting by NSC. And, of course, the PNB will be at that meeting if they want to come, and anybody can participate. But I think some of the key points that Lonnie raised there that are incumbent for us to remember is, number one, the revenue-generating portion. Some of these issues are kind of good guideposts for what we need to be worrying about and how we deal with the issue of how we're going to use some of this money for future revenue generation. And I think that's critical. Obviously, it's got to be programming and listenership issues, which I think brings to issue other things that many PNB and members are interested in. But secondly, as it relates to our cash flow balance and the presentation of the loan, Lonnie is correct. We are operating in the national office off of the assumption that the WBII and KPFK were not going to pay, and that was the basis for a partial basis for the collapse plan at the NO level. But on the reverse end, the two stations, WBII and KPFK, did allocate money on assuming that they were going to make their national office assessments. If they are successful in accomplishing that, we may have some positive revenue streams that we can demonstrate to the bank that will assist us in showing some stability on cash flow for purposes of servicing this debt. So the collapse of the national office may be helpful in that regard. Lonnie's is working on that document, and that document will be vetted by National Finance at Thursday's meeting. That's the presentation, unless Lonnie had anything else to add.
No, that's all. I just wanted to stress we do, if you look at where we stand as a network and the national office between now and December, the loan is critical, and it's tough.
Okay. Anybody on the staff?
Yeah, George?
Go ahead.
I don't believe we actually authorized, we never had a motion to actually authorize the taking of the loan. We authorized the exploration of the possibility of taking the loan and what kind of conditions we could get and how much we could get it for. So I don't think there's anything to renew in this. That's my first comment. My second comment is that I would like to see, and Lonnie, this is really a question for you, if there's a problem with this, I would like to see balance sheets up till the end of October, if possible, before we make a final decision about this, so that one has a better sense of where we're actually at. That would include all of the fund drives that have happened. So as I understand, they actually came in at what they were expected to. So I'm unclear as to the real as to just where the necessity of this. And then the third point I want to just that was really addressed to Lonnie. Can we get that information before next week? Let's say. And the last question was on the $400,000 CD that KPFA had. Was that renewed? Well, what is the status of that?
It formally ended on September 30th, but it now is in collateralized state. It's frozen as collateral, so it changes its status a bit. Not a free-flowing CD anymore. And it's with Wells Fargo, so they have the phone in their own Wells Fargo account. As to the question on October, our fiscal year ended in September 30th, and I'm still working on closing September. And we do have the August balance sheet. That's all they ask because they know we haven't closed. I'm trying to do a pro forma balance sheet close for them. Auditors are in on the 17th, and we're busy preparing for that audit right now. We won't be able to produce an October balance sheet.
But we will have a September one.
Yeah, we do. But again, September hasn't been closed, and auditors haven't done it. Like I said, I can produce a pro forma version.
I see.
Now, the other, yeah, so that's what they'll accept that. Now, the drive results I have produced, and that's available all the way through the October drive. So we know what the drive results were. I did a whole year's worth of drives, mainly to show that over the last year, the drives have lost $1 million. And if you look at the balance sheet, if you look at the cash flow summary that I've sent out, you can see since 2007, when we had $2.2 million as our ending cash flow, and you project what the ending cash flow would be for 2009, another $1 million reduction in cash flow. So we've been losing cash. And it's pretty easy to correlate that with largely drive results. And this is a reduction in cash, keep in mind, even with the layoff. Folks ask the question, boy, with the layoffs, hasn't that materially impacted us? And does it obviate the need for a loan? No, all of that has been taken into consideration, sad to say. And even with the projecting the savings against the staff reductions and expense reductions, we still stand there with $1 million. That's how things, we lost $2 million if you look at us over the last 2 years, 3 years. So,
and George, I'd like to add, I'd asked Lonnie to prepare, and I think I sent it out to everybody on the PNB, his analysis of the cash, the revenues produced by the fund drives for the past year. And so there's a pretty good analysis of what our cash flow performance has been and up until this last fund drive. And I have to emphasize that you guys all know that we have been in this stress all year long. And it's been extremely difficult to deal with, but we really need to get this loan moving. And we need authorization tonight because as Lonnie explained, banks and banking institutions have loan committees and they have a set of series of stages they have to go through in order to process a loan, and that really isn't gotten off square one yet, and we're going to need this money pretty soon or we're going to find ourselves right back where we were in August with those very stressful meetings.
Stack, anybody else?
Sherry, this is Dan. I'd like to speak on this.
Go ahead, Dan.
Okay. So I definitely support what Mike and Lonnie are saying in terms of moving forward with the authorization as soon as possible. I think we're actually quite a bit behind on this. But I want to say something about the amount. I think that $1 million is at least what we will need. But what I would like to see personally, and hopefully the board would also like to see, is a document that shows how whatever the amount is eventually will not only deal with the deficit, so we're back at sort of starting at zero again, but will also bridge us from where we are today to the point where our budget will make us self-sufficient again. I think that's the way you figure out the amount. And I think $1 million is clearly a minimum, but it may be more than that, and I hope people will look into it.
Okay. Anyone else?
Rob Robinson.
Hey, Rob.
Yeah, this is for Lonnie. Lonnie, the current budget that was passed in September has got two assumptions in it that continue to trouble me. One is there is no goal for growth in audience and membership at the local station level. And the second assumption, in other words, we can continue to lose audience and membership without any negative impact to the foundation. And secondly, there's this assumption that the resources that the local stations have are not going to impact their ability to raise additional funds or to reach listeners. And I think both of those assumptions are fallacious, and they continue to put us beyond the posture of looking seriously at why our programming schedules are continuing to hemorrhage listeners. And unless we address that, it seems to me that we're not going to be able to stave off the financial crisis and the downward spiral that we're in. So I guess my question to you, Lonnie, is will we have the support from anybody in management to really look at issues like programming seriously, to look at accountability for programming, to look at simple programs to increase audience and to convert larger percentages of members, listeners to membership? Because until we do this and until the local stations understand that this is a necessity, we're not going to do anything to change the behaviors that have gotten us where we are. So is management going to support something in that direction?
I think that's out of Lonnie's purview. He's the chief financial officer.
He's a member of management.
I can speak to Dan's point.
He doesn't set programming policy.
No, he doesn't, but he's the chief financial officer.
Well, let me speak to it from a financial point of view.
That would be wonderful.
And reiterating Dan's point, after we borrow this $1 million, we virtually will not have money, seed money, for anything else that we might be wanting to look at, like programming, whether that be to purchase programming, or whether that be to develop internal programming, assuming there's cost, or other resources that we might need for any other purpose, everything from, you know, what do we do for the 60th anniversary. So we're really a minimum with $1 million. And even within that million, if we present something to that bank that says, well, you know, we're going to use $200,000 or $300,000 of this for revenue stream, whatever that turns out to be, they're going to ask the question, well, that may cover their loan payment, and that's something we would have to do. It still doesn't cover any other expenses that may be connected with moving the network forward on whatever venue we might be looking at, programming, additional fundraising resources. So we have not solved the problems with $1 million. We have gotten to a point where we are going to be basically treading water. And if there's a bad drive between now and June, if there's other unbudgeted expenses, we will be back in crisis fairly soon. So I don't want to misrepresent that this loan will solve the problem. It's just the first step.
Yeah, and I want to reiterate that point, that when we first had this discussion, you all may recall that is exactly how Nicole presented it as well, that this was just a bare-bones deal. It didn't get us any further than that.
Ethea Stack.
Go ahead, Ethea.
Well, this, if this loan is approved, will it be secured by the real estate and or equipment of Pacifica, of the entire network?
It will be secured by one of the properties, Afia. I believe we're talking about KPFA. Is that right, Lonnie?
Well, when I came in on it, they had moved it over to KPFK.
KPFK.
And we did.
Those are the two top ones.
Yes.
So it's going to be secured by KPFK. It's an equity loan. It's a property equity loan.
May I ask a second question?
Go ahead.
And do I understand that we do not have a proposed way of paying this back, a theoretical way of paying this back?
I think that we do, and Afia, what you'll hear Thursday night is a detailed discussion of that at National Finance. Essentially, and Lonnie's working on the draft. I haven't reviewed his most current draft, but we were going to try to get it done before Thursday. And essentially, we were, because of the national office collapse, we're going to be able to identify some revenue streams. And I haven't completely seen all that, that Lonnie's mapping out there, but I know he's working on that, and we'll discuss it on Thursday night.
Jack?
Jamie on the stack?
Go ahead, Jamie.
Yes, hold on one sec. Let me get... Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to update people on where things stood on the national finance and this loan. As some of you may know, I've been acting chair of National Finance Committee for the last couple of meetings. I hope this situation does not go on further than that. But anyway, just to let you all know, on the 20th of October, we passed a motion requesting the CFO to prepare a cash flow projection, which he has now done, and a draft loan application, which basically I believe we do, to pay off vendor debt, to pay off Pacifico's line of credit, and satisfy Foundation's projected cash needs through February 1st. And basically the object of this motion, as far as I understand, was we would have this in our hands, and then we would have a meeting to determine, you know, what the actual amount needed for such a loan would be. So that's where that stands. And also, we also discussed at our last meeting on the 29th, you know, regarding this question, has the PNB actually approved a large equity loan? And the three directors on the phone did not recall that it did. The NFC did pass a motion, to our best recollection, immediately prior to the DC PNB meeting, you know, that would authorize such a loan and use KPFK's property as the collateral. But, you know, I don't recall that that motion was passed by the PNB. We could be wrong, but we didn't remember it. So I think that George's, as far as to my best recollection, George's point is correct. And let's see, I have a question for Mike and Lonnie. If the board authorizes $1 million loan, does that mean that we can't get a $900,000 loan without further authorization, or does such an authorization cover any loan less than $1 million?
I think your interpretation of it as the latter would apply. If it's, for example, determined after NFC's review on Thursday that it's really only $900,000, which I don't think is going to be the case, then certainly I think the board authorization for up to $1 million would cover that.
Okay, and let's see, can I ask one more question then?
I mean, the idea, Jamie, the idea is, you know, that's kind of been batted around out there is, you know, if $1 million, like Dan said, if $1 million is not enough, should we maybe authorize something up to a higher amount as a contingency so it's there?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because, I mean, I don't... You know, I don't know how much time we have tonight, and I don't know what the inclination of the board is. I do know that the board has, and I don't know what the board did or didn't do. I just remember these long discussions about the $1 million loan in August, and we don't have the benefit of minutes or motions, so we don't know. But so, I mean, I'm happy to do the $1 million tonight because I know it's been fully discussed. If we go above that, if the PNB is capable of doing that tonight, it might not be a bad idea.
Okay, can I ask one more question then?
Yes.
Which would be, would you all be amenable to waiting till next Sunday's meeting to decide this after the NFC meets, or would that be a bad idea?
Well, Lonnie's been talking to the bank.
Yeah,
Lonnie?
It would be a bad idea. I told them we were meeting tonight, and they're sort of expecting news. But keep in mind that, you know, if we authorize $1 million, it is not like they're going to write us a check for $1 million. Every step of the way, they will be asking, you know, for what are you going to spend it on, and what will be your sources and uses. Then they'll ask for documentation. So it's
The banking regulations require that there be a board authorization before the loan application can be made. And so
right.
If we don't have board authorization in there, then they can't move forward with the loan application.
Right.
That's the whole point.
This is
Sherry.
Can I be on the staff, please?
Wait.
I'm sorry. I think that was Grace's voice, and then
yes.
I heard. Just a second, please. And then I think I heard Dan. Is that correct? Okay. So it's going to be Grace and then Dan.
Okay.
Okay, several things. The first is, to my recollection, only $400,000 was approved, that original loan against the line of credit against the CD owned by KPFA. The loan may have been approved in the National Finance Committee, but when it was brought up at the in-person PNB meeting, it was sent back for a clarification regarding the terms of the loan. So if we vote to authorize Lonnie to work on the loan further with PNB approval, I would say that it should be with the caveat that the terms of the loan come back to the PNB for approval. I don't want to approve $1 million loan at 10% interest rate or anything like that. So I want to make sure that we agree to the terms of the loan. The next thing is, I would like, since we are considering KPFK's building as a collateral for the loan, I would like to ensure that we have the financial recovery proposal going to the bank in writing sent to us as soon as possible. KPFK is having a local station board meeting on Tuesday night. We're having a finance committee meeting tomorrow night. So if there's some wording for the what's going to be proposed to the bank as a recovery plan, I think we would like it in writing as soon as possible. Also, there should be consultation with the working group set up by of PNB members who have been working on a strategic recovery plan, as well as myself and Jamie Ross and a few others on the finance committee. So in other words, we should have input into any financial recovery plan since we've been working on it for months, inside and outside of the National Finance Committee.
Let me respond to a couple of those points. First of all, in terms of the board approval of the actual loan, I mean, once the bank approves the loan, they're going to offer us a deal. It's going to be in writing. They're going to be loan documents. They're going to be sent over for the executive director to sign. I mean, at that point, if the board doesn't like the deal, the board can instruct the executive director not to sign the documents, and that'll be that. So, I mean, the board is going to have the full authority to control this. And I think if we put some condition on some motion right now, it's just going to goose up the bank. We just need to authorize the loan application. That's all we're asking for. We're applying for a loan. We're not actually going to do the loan unless it's signed off on by the appropriate parties, and that's controlled by the board. Secondly, the proposed loan application, which is the document that there's an earlier document that Lonnie prepared that I circulated to everybody about a month ago. That proposed loan application is the document that we're talking about that we're working on. And it's got to get to the bank within the reasonable near future. And I would just invite everybody who's concerned just to participate, you know, at the National Finance Committee meeting on Thursday, because that's where the document will be discussed.
Dan?
Yeah, well, I mean, I want to agree with Mike's presentation of that issue. You know, this is writing up a loan application is not best. It's not a project that's best done by committee. It's best done by the people who understand what the bank wants and will prepare the application accordingly. But the second thing I want to say is that I think it would be helpful to the board to know what this is going to cost. In that sense, Grace's point was a good one in terms of the interest rate. My sense from speaking with Lonnie, and Lonnie should confirm this, but that $1 million is going to cost us approximately $8,500 a month for a little over $100,000 a year. So, you know, when people think about this, which I think it's important that people think about and not do something rash, that amount of money is not going to be, in my view anyway, so difficult for the foundation to meet that it will actually jeopardize the security that we put up. So I just wanted to make those 2 points.
Thank you.
And
Yosh for the sec.
Go ahead, Yosh.
Yes, this is a question for either Mike or Lonnie, and that question is, if we we authorize a loan at $1 million, will we have greater difficulty if we decide in 2 months or 4 months from now that actually we need $1.4 million?
No, I did have that question with them, and they're happy. They just want to get it done. And they said if you need to come back for additional loans, they're perfectly willing to do it, but it'll be in a new fiscal period because theirs ends December 31st. But no, that doesn't seem to be a problem. They're proposing a 30-year loan, which all details are negotiable, at 7.75%, maybe a little lower now. We were dealing with the Federal Reserve. This is not a private bank. This is a bank under Community Investment Act, if you want to look that up on the net. And it's the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco that's guaranteeing the loan. The board of directors of this organization are the heads of those banks, Wachovia, Bank of America, Wells Fargo. So they want to put this money into the community. Their mission is to put, you know, risky loans into communities that would have difficulty getting regular loans at private banks. So they're motivated. They just want to get rid of the money and count for it, you know, because it looks like they're not utilizing the funds. So they want us to move some degree of speed on this by the end of December. So they're offering 30 years, which is very good. But as I say, it's not approval of the loan. It's approval to apply for a loan. So there are other steps that follow on.
Yes?
Okay. Jack?
I didn't ask to be on the stack, so.
No, I didn't say Jack. I said stack.
Oh. If there's no further stack, then I would move to for a resolution for the board to authorize our CFO to file a loan application for $1
million. Second.
I have a question. Can I ask a question?
It's moved and seconded.
This is Grace.
Yeah, I got you, Grace. Hold on.
Okay.
Been moved in, or the secretary, would you repeat Mike's motion in the second, please?
Oh, was that Mike? I was going to ask. To authorize the CFO for authorization for this loan.
Okay.
For,
so we're going to need
of $1 million.
Of $1 million.
Okay.
For a loan of
the board authorizes the CFO to apply for, to make $1 million loan application.
Wendy Stack?
Just hold on a second. Do you have that now? Do you have the language?
That the board authorize the CFO for authorization for this loan of $1 million.
Not exact. Mike?
That the board authorize the CFO to make a loan application of $1 million.
Got it. That the board authorize the CFO to make a loan application for $1 million?
Right.
That's
okay.
It.
Excuse me, and it was seconded by Nia Bediako. Okay, great.
And then when...
Okay, I have a couple of questions and then some comments. So I'd like to be able to speak after the question is answered. Lonnie, when is it? Are you going to be contacting the bank on Friday, or are you going to be contacting the bank before the NFC meeting?
Well, I'll likely give them an update. They'd like to know, you know, what stage we're in. And if we pass the motion tonight, I will let them know that the motion was passed tonight. That'll keep them, that'll keep us on their radar. And then Mike and I will look over the package, and then it'll be vetted by the NFC on Thursday. And then I guess our timetable would be that that package would go to the board and presumably to the bank by Friday, Monday. Now, if there is an approval process that the board wants to do Friday, Monday, I would say that that might slow us down. But I would like to do it that way. Just get something in their hands, put us in their inbox so that we're on the docket for December. Because they won't get anything done after the 15th of December, so we're really talking about the next 30 days for them to have their loan committee meet, vet our loan, and presumably come back to us with what they're willing to do.
Okay, thank you, Lonnie. The next question is, as this is an open meeting, I assume that it is okay for this to be discussed at the KPFK LSD meeting on Tuesday and our local finance committee tomorrow. It is this. The collateral may possibly be the KPFK building. So, as it is public, I just wanted to mention that this will be discussed locally. The next thing is, I would like it to be noted in the minutes that this loan will not be finalized until the terms are brought back to the PNB. In other words, that this motion is not. I just wanted to note it, what Mike said to be noted in the minutes, if that's possible.
Yes.
And then the next thing is, I'm very happy that we are seriously looking at improving listenership as the key to future solvency for Pacifica. And I would hope that as soon as is possible that the wording of that, those plans and intentions that are going to be in the loan application will be forwarded to this board and to all NFC members. Otherwise, I am in favor of this motion.
Okay, and who is, Grace, are you done?
Yes.
Okay, who is on the stack next, sorry?
Wendy.
Go ahead, Wendy.
I think what the bank was looking for was a motion from the PNB authorizing a loan amount, and I think that it got changed now. If the wording of the motion, I would make an amendment to say that the Pacifica National Board authorizes a loan application in the amount of $1 million. I think to make it any more specific than that takes away, well, you guys are all saying, yeah, but we want it noted that it's going to come back to the Finance Committee and then the PNB and all that stuff. That's taken away by the motion as it is worded right now. I've been a little bit concerned about anybody speaking on behalf of the PNB because we're the ones who are actually have our names on this at this point. So I would just, my amendment would be that the Pacifica National Board authorizes a loan application in the amount of $1 million. Does anybody understand why I'm saying that?
I thought that's exactly what we were doing.
No, it isn't what you said, though. You said the PNB authorizes CFO to make a loan application in the amount of $1 million.
And I don't see any difference between that sentence and your sentence.
Can I go on then? All I'm saying is that if you want us to see it before it goes there, and all, I think what the CFO is asking us to do is to show the bank that we want to borrow $1 million. And what you're saying is that the application with all its parts is authorized to go forward. That's what I think your motion says.
Wendy, I think you're splitting hairs here, I think we all understand what the process is going to be from here on out. It's not like Lonnie's going to be some rogue guy who goes out and does what he wants to do, but I do think the language of the motion the bank needs to know that when the CFO comes to them with this loan application and he's the point man communicating with the bank, they need to know that he's the point man, you know, that he's the guy, he's the right guy to be talking to. So there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, the CFO is authorized to, you know, submit on behalf of the PNB a loan application of $1 million. I mean, we're still going to go through this process.
Yosh, it's back.
Hey, Yosh.
Yes, I see Wendy's point. You know, some people might consider it a matter of semantics, but, you know, her amended motion, amendment is much stronger in language, and so I will second Wendy's amendment.
Hey. Any other comment on the amendment?
We should identify who the loan is going to be requested of, the Community Development Finance Institution, CDFI.
What's it called?
CDFI.
Mike?
Yeah, look, I'm just not up to motions to substitute and all that kind of crap.
Yeah.
You know, it says the same thing. Let's take Wendy's language and add the community, whatever the name of it is. What's the name of it, Lonnie?
Yeah, Community Development Finance Institution.
Let's add that the loan application is going to be made to the Community Development Finance Institute. Let's use Wendy's language, drop mine, use hers. Please spare me the motions to substitute multiple votes.
The DNB authorizes the loan of $1 million to CBFI, CDFI.
Yeah, that's it. Let's vote on that.
A loan of $1 million to CDFI?
That's not even
from
language.
From
CDFI. Use her language.
But shouldn't her language be in English?
Yes.
Do you want to reword it for me?
This is a point of order. Wendy, you put the word application when you first presented your substitute motion. But I forgot.
Okay.
Yes, I
sounds like everybody's in agreement. Just say what it should be.
Mike?
That the PNB authorized a loan application of $1 million to, what's it called?
Community Development Financial Institution.
Community Development Financial Institution,
yeah,
the benefit of the secretary and note taker.